There is. An old saying that everybody with two heads is a monster. A body must have one head, and every generation must have one leader that will be the leader of that generation. And to think that we can know who is the righteous man of the generation, and to think that we can tell, that's a big mistake. Because I learned from my rabbis that we need to be tmimim. The verse is saying, Tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. Tamim, innocent, you will be with Hashem, your God. So, most of the places that I read about it was explaining this verse and saying, Tamim, if you are Tamim, if really you're innocent, if you really want to know Hashem, so you should be with Hashem Elokecha. If you really want to be simple, so you should be with Hashem. Tamim. Go be with Hashem. But the word Tamim means complete. So when you're going to complete yourself, so then you're going to be with Hashem Elokecha. How can I be with Hashem? The Chachamim, the wise people, are saying to us that they compare him to an eating fire. Fire that eats, that destroys, that grows, that takes more. Hashem is fire. So how can you come close to Hashem? How can you come closer to Hashem? And the verse is saying, Lo yirani adam v'chai. Person cannot see me and stay alive. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a person that Hashem Yitbarach is testifying on him, pel pe adaber bo, mouth to mouth, I was talking to him, face to face, eye to eye. How can it happen? If we're not able to come closer to Hashem Yitbarach, so how come Moshe Rabbeinu is able to do that? And more than that, that we know that it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu, he went up to a place that calls Marom. And Marom is a place that only Hashem can be in that place all alone. Only Him. Angels, the highest angels of them all, no one have the permission to go to that place. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he went to that place. And he's not an angel. And he went with his body. So, something is different about this guy Moshe. Something is very different. And it cannot be that in one generation we will have two Moshe. Only when Hashem Yitbarach said to Moshe, look, you're not going to continue, you must pass your wisdom to your student, to Yoshua bin Nun. So then Moshe Rabbeinu was blessing Yoshua, and he gave him that blessing and passed and went back to heaven. And we know that it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu was begging to Hashem Yitbarach to get into the Holy Land, to Eretz Israel. And Hashem Yitbarach refused. Hashem Yitbarach told him, stop. Even though that you were begging, even though that you were praying at least 515 long, deep prayers to enter to the Holy Land, I'm telling you, be quiet. I know what I'm doing. You cannot enter to the Holy Land. And it's weird, because Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that we need to pray, that we need to believe, that if we're going to go with all of our heart until the end, so we will be answered, and we should believe in ourselves. And we saw that he did it. We saw that he's arguing with Hashem, and fighting with Hashem, and praying, and arguing, and he's kidnapping the holy tablets from the hands of the Creator when they're alone in Marom. He's taking like we saw the Smichat Chachamim, the book of Rabbi Naftali Katz, that he wrote in Smichat Chachamim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was literally, it's coming from the Zohar HaKadosh, from the Midrashim, he was overpowering on Hashem. He took it, the holy tablets in force, in power. Literally. He is holding in one side of the holy tablets, and Hashem is holding in the other side, and then it's written, Gavar kocho shel Moshe. Moshe was overpowering on Hashem. He took it from his hands. So we learn from Moshe that, okay, we need to fight, we need to go, we need to win, and even if it's Hashem, in the end Hashem will say, Nitzchuni banai, you were right. I'm praising you for breaking the holy tablets. After taking them, now breaking them, and Hashem is praising him. And Aish Moshe Anav, and he's humble. He's ready to die. He's risking himself. Hashem is telling him, I'm going to destroy them. He's saying, you need to kill me first. You won't touch no one. Kill me first if you want to kill them. But in the end, we see Moshe, he died. Hashem took him. And no one knows where he's buried, in the valley, in front of the Holy Land. And no one knows where he's buried, and no one can go to his grave and to pray over there. And Hashem is telling us why. Rabotenu are telling us, the rabbis, the holy righteous people from ancient generations are telling us why we don't know where Moshe is buried, and why Hashem Yitbarach refused Moshe, didn't allow Moshe to enter to the Holy Land. Because if Moshe would have entered to the Holy Land and he would have built the Holy Temple, the Beit HaMikdash, so the temple was, it would have been destroyed. The merit, like today in the Western Wall, we know that the Western Wall will always stay ours and will always stay standing, stable, we're never going to be ruined, we're never going to break. And it's the only part of Beit HaMikdash, of the temple, that haven't been destroyed. Why? Because King David, he was the one that built it and not his son Shlomo. So by the merit of King David, this wall will stay forever. Nothing will move over there in the Western Wall. Why? Because of the merit of David. So exactly like that, similar to that, if Moshe would have built the temple so no one could touch it, so why not to do that, Hashem? What's going on? Okay, so you want us, you love us, you brought us. So what's the secret? Why to leave Moshe Rabbeinu outside? Outside of the Holy Land? So it's written that the reason why we're not allowed, we cannot even tell where is he buried, and he himself also doesn't know where he's buried, that he won't come in dreams and tell some rabbis, hey, come to my grave, to my tzitzit. He doesn't know. No one can tell. Only Hashem knows where he's buried. Why? Because if people would pray, because they were afraid that if people would come to his grave, to his tziyun, and will pray over there, they will cancel every decree. So it's in the power of Moshe to cancel decrees until today. That's the man. That's the person. He can do it. He's the one to do those wild things, to cancel every decree. To fight with Hashem, to bring Hashem Yitbarach to admit that he was wrong and that Moshe was right. Salachti ki dvarecha, I'm apologizing, I was sorry, I forgive, as you said. You're teaching me, Hashem is saying to Moshe. The Creator tells Moshe, thank you for teaching me, thank you for guiding me, you took me to the right place. That's Moshe. That's that humble person, Moshe. So, what's going on? How can it be? What, Hashem is greater than his student? It has to be that the Creator is going to be greater than his student. But if now the Creator created the world and he sent all of the nations to go and to fight and to talk and to try and to build and to deal with life, and now he will come and going to redeem the world, so it's not a fair fight. It's not balanced. It cannot be like that. Okay, Hashem, you send us here and in the end you'll come and finish the war. So there's no war, you know, it's a cell game. It's already, okay, Hashem will win, so what's the use? This is why Hashem Yitbarach, he is dressing himself in those righteous people and he's sending them that they will understand how important they are in the eyes of Hashem. And those are the people that are going to go and fight the war of Hashem. They will fight for Hashem, against Hashem. Hashem will fight with them and he wants them to win. He's sending us to the depths of the exile, to the thickest darkness of them all, and he wants us to convince him to forgive. He wants us to wake him up from his so-called sleep. But he's the one that wakes up our souls to understand of his greatness, of his kindness. But only a righteous man like Moshe can believe in himself so much that he will stand in front of all of the world and will say, "You don't understand anything. I know Hashem. Ki pi Hashem diber alechem." It's the mouth of Hashem that is telling you what that I think. Only Moshe Rabbeinu have that power to stand in front of Hashem Yitbarach and to hear the Creator himself telling him no, and he's saying to Hashem, "Yes. I'm sorry, Hashem. Now you're going to listen to me." Who can do that? Only one in every generation. Only one. Only one in every generation. Only one. When Korach was envious, jealous, he wanted to be like Moshe, he wanted the crown, he wanted to be the king, he wanted to rule, the ground, the earth, opened its mouth and swallowed him with all of his generations. Everyone went down to hell, and they're still in hell. The worst punishment of them all. Why? Because they were trying to erase that righteous man. The purpose of the creation is that Moshe, is that humble person. So now you're going to tell yourself, okay, so who it's going to be? Oh, we need to cry. That Mashiach will come, the righteous man. I tell you, nonsense. Nonsense. He's already here. He's with you. He's giving you his hand and he's telling you, "Join me." Who is Moshe Rabbeinu without his people? Without his nation? We need to follow Moshe. We need to work on that, to nullify ourselves to the righteous people, to the real righteous people, to the ones that are showing us the way, the path, and to follow them full speed. And if we're not going to do that full speed, we're going to stay in Egypt. 80% of our nation stayed in Egypt. They died in the darkness. They died. They've been buried in the darkness. 80%. Millions of people. And Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting for every one of them, every single one, and one. And he's not going until the last one will come. And he's fighting for the souls. And he's still fighting in this generation for the souls. But how can it be that he will be stronger than Hashem? That Hashem is refusing and Hashem is constricting the world and Hashem Yitbarach is blocking the redemption and Moshe is bringing redemption. How can it be? Like that we saw that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he broke the holy tablets, so then Hashem Yitbarach is telling him, "Yashar kochacha sheshibarta, I'm praising you for the fact that you broke the holy tablets, because kivanta ledaati, you aimed to my will, you realized what I want more. I told you no, but my will was yes. I told you yes, but my will was no. But you got the right will. You got the message. You were right. You found my wisdom." Because when that righteous man is nullifying himself completely, so he finds Hashem inside of him, and then even if Hashem will tell him no, he feels that something is wrong here. No, it can't be. It can't be that Hashem will tell me to kill someone. No, it can't be that Hashem will tell me not to bring salvation. It cannot be. But you need to be that person, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he needs to be so crazy that he doesn't have anything to lose, that he doesn't care. Life or death, will have, will not have, will succeed, not succeed. He's looking for justice. He's ready to die. He's ready to pray. He's ready to pray. And he's not afraid to die. He's not afraid to sacrifice. He's not afraid of no situation. And only why? Because he's so humble. He's not important when he's checking himself. Okay, so I'll die. You know, so what? What's okay, it won't change nothing. Like, okay, we have our job. Let's do it. Okay, you'll die, but you'll die. Who cares? No. There's a job. There's a mission. We're soldiers. We're fighting. And he's a regular soldier. When you're going to ask him, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm serving." He's a regular servant. He's just running. He's a brother. He's a friend. He's a man. She's a whatever. What do you need me to be? A rabbi? Okay, I'm your rabbi. Whatever. What do you need me to be? Marriage counselor? Great, I'll sit with you. No problem. What do you need? Oh, plumber? Yeah, I know how to do that. No problem. What do you need? Yeah, I'm with you. Yes, let's work. Whatever you need, he's there. בכל צרתם לא צר. And we think that Hashem is so bad, that Hashem is so evil, all of the time. You can say, no, chas v'shalom. Come on, you're liars. You know that you're a group of liars. We all thinking bad thoughts about Hashem, all of the time, all of the time. We have horrible thoughts about Hashem. Because, alay tulonotechem, your complaints are on me. And who doesn't have complaints? You have complaints, right? You have one complaint. You have, one. Yeah, only one. We found the right one. He's got one. Okay, so that complaint is on Hashem. Because Hashem, okay, you and I, we know that you can fix it. And you're not. So we have a complaint on Hashem. But Hashem is asking, Lama Talino, why are you complaining? Because you complain because that you don't understand me. That's what Hashem is saying. The reason that you complain is because you don't see all the way. Moshe Rabbeinu is not complaining. When Hashem told him, be quiet, he was quiet. He went and looked for his grave and went and entered to that grave and closed his eyes, relaxed. Okay. Happy. Whatever you want, Hashem. He was relaxed. He was very calm. Hashem kissed him on his lips and that's how he passed away. Back to Father in heaven. His soul was crying in his day of death. Normal people, when the soul, when it hears the voice, come back home, that's it. You can't stop it. The soul is running away from the person. That's it. Oh, he fell. What happened? The soul left him. It's such an opportunity for her, for the soul, to run back home so that she, okay, thank God, I got rid of him. Free to go. But the soul of Moshe was refusing to leave that pure body. It was crying. It said, who in the world will host me like that he was hosting me? Which body will be as pure as the body of Moshe? Which person will be so dedicated to let me shine, to let the soul shine from itself, from inside, that it was a nice vehicle, it was a good vessel, it was a pure vessel. I want to stay. That was the voice of the soul. Chachamim, Rabotenu are telling us, be careful from your soul because your soul is going to testify on you, going to tell on you everything in Judgment Day. You were lying in bed, alone, quiet, no one was there, and you had horrible thoughts that your soul will tell. Your soul will tell every foreign thought that you had that crossed your mind. It's recorded. You're done. You're finished. What are you going to do in Judgment Day? Your soul, mishochevet chekecha, that sits inside of you, that lies inside of you, it will snitch. It will tell everything, every word, every thought you had in speakers. Sof davar, in the end of the world, akol nishma, everything will be heard, everything. Who is not afraid of Judgment Day? Moshe. Why? Because he was himself. So he's ready to stand in front of Hashem, itbarach, and to tell him, yes, it was me, and now what? What do you want to do? Okay, let's finish. Let's get over it. You want to kill me? Okay, I'm here. What? So I was wrong. I was the one that broke the holy tablets. And now what do you want to do? I had my reason. You want to punish me on that? I'm with you. Okay, let's go. What's the problem? In Judgment Day, the devil, the Yetzer Hara, the angel of death, is coming to Hashem Yitbarach and tells him, hey, what do you want from me? You send me. I was your angel, I was your messenger, you gave me that job, and I want to kill everyone. And I did your job, what do you want from me? You're blaming me, you want to punish me now? Because it's written that the Creator will come back, Chamutz Bragadim Mibatzra, with his white cloaks, red from blood, from all of the bloodshed, the tears, and the sorrow of Am Yisrael, of all of the innocent, and he will come with that holy cloak of fire, red from blood, to do what? To revenge, to kill, to slaughter the Samech Mem, the angel of death. So the angel of death, he's a liar, like he was always a liar. That's his creation. And he's telling to Hashem Yitbarach, look, you send me, I was your messenger, and as my boss, you need to come with me to hell. So rude. He's saying to the Creator, if you're sending me to hell, you need to come with me to hell. So what Hashem is telling him, okay, let's go. We're going together. And he holds his hand and they're going down to hell and the angel of death is burning in hell and Hashem Yitbarach sits and smiles. Like, which kind of fire can control the Creator? He's the source of fire. He's the eternal flame. He's infinity. He's beyond this world. And the angel of death, as big as he will be, he will always going to stay a creation. So fire can control him. Hashem's fire. But Hashem Yitbarach, oh, fire, whatever. Who cares? And Moshe Rabbeinu is like that. Moshe Rabbeinu nullified himself so much that he doesn't care. Fire, so what? He doesn't have no problem with judgments. He's ready to go. Okay, Hashem. And then no fire can control him. Why? Because he's saying, look, v'nachnu ma, who are we? We're what? What are we? We're not here at all. We're just doing things for Hashem. You know? You want to fight with me? There's no me. It's not me at all. It's only you. Only because of that wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he understands the real message, the real wisdom of the Creator, the real will of the Creator, the beauty and the kindness and the love and the all of the amazing will, nature of the Creator, his real personality, he understands it, that man, Moshe. So he's ready to be quiet, even if Hashem Yitbarach tells him, you need to die. You cannot go into the Holy Land. You cannot build the temple. You cannot bring complete redemption. And everyone will say, what? That's the Torah that he was learning, that he was giving to us, and now he will be punished. We're going to enter to the Holy Land, and he will be left behind. After he was rescuing every one of us, now he will be left behind. How can it be? That's the reward of a righteous man. That's how he will be rewarded by the Creator. Is that justice? Yes. And why? Because we still don't understand what Hashem Yitbarach was doing. Hashem Yitbarach, the Creator, he told us, listen, if Moshe will build the Beit HaMikdash, I won't be able to break Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. I won't be able to destroy the Holy Temple. Because the merit of Moshe is too great, too big. I won't be able to touch the temple. And then, when the horrible days of destructions will come, what I'm going to do? I'm going to have to take out my anger on you. And this is why in the days of the destruction, there was that old, ancient, old guy that was sitting over there and he was laughing. Every single one of the righteous people and common people were crying, were mourning on the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. And that person is sitting and laughing and people thought he lost his mind. Look at him, he's laughing in the worst day. Worst day of them all. The destruction of the temple, the house of Hashem. And he's laughing. They thought he lost his mind. Many people lost their mind in those days. And they came and asked him, why are you laughing? So he said, I can see that the Creator takes out his anger on wood and stones instead of us. He's supposed to kill us, but he decided to be angry on the house, on his own house. To break his house, to exile himself. He was not exiling us at all. What happened to us? Went to a vacation in Rome. You don't want to go to Rome, to Babylon. What happened? Okay, so we suffered, but we're still eating. Okay, so a few of us died, but the grandchildren made it back. So what? We're suffering, yes. But the real one that's been exiled, the real one that is still suffering until today is the Creator. You can always satisfy yourself with a warm loaf of bread, with a nice sandwich, with a cup of coffee, something. You know, there are things that makes you happy. You can always put some nice music and to forget about your troubles, go drink something, go smoke something. Something you do. You know, you have your solutions. You can go into your car at night and to drive and put the volume up and to open the something, you know, you have your things. Your YouTubes, your Facebooks, your newspapers, your hobbies, your sports, your jogging, your basketball, the league, the whatever, the finals. You know, you run away once in a while. You have your vacations, you have your days off. Only one never rests. Only one never stops crying. Only one. Even in the worst days of them all, in the Holocaust, you were there in the camp. Okay, you were there. They took your mother. They killed your father. They slaughtered your children. But when you found that roll of bread, you were happy. You were starving. You were suffering. But you had some comfort. Or even there, you had some comfort. Or even if you will say, I didn't have no comfort. I was eating with sorrow. You suffered your own sorrow, right? You suffered the sorrow of the horrific sights that you saw of your family, of your relatives, of your best friends, of your community, of your nation. Okay, but you were one person that suffered. And you were not two people that suffered. You were suffering from your own eyes. Only the Creator, He was there and suffered from all of our eyes and from outside of our bodies, without the satisfaction, without the food, without the shelter. He just, the only one that saw the complete picture was only one, only Him. Can we understand His sorrow? B'chol tzaratam lo tzar. His pain and His destruction, it's the destruction. Your destruction is a joke. Which exile you're at? How much you ate before of 12? You remember how much food you put into your mouth until now? How many hours you were okay in life? You know how many generations, how many years the Creator, He is soaking every piece of sorrow from every creation in His world, in this creation? How much sorrow He contains, He holds? We cannot understand the sorrow of the Shechinah Kedoshah, the sorrow of the Creator. Rabbi Nachman of Breslev is writing that if you would hear the sound of that cry, you wouldn't stand in that sorrow. You can't stand in that sorrow. The brothers are coming and standing in front of Yosef, and he is crying over there, and they can't speak. They've been paralyzed. Why? They see His real sorrow, the sorrow of the righteous man that feels the sorrow of the Shechinah Kedoshah. They see Him cry. They're done. They can't talk. They're shaking, all of them, paralyzed. Fall on the ground, dead, can't move, can't even say sorry, can't even apologize. Lo yachlu la'anot, can't answer, can't talk, can't move. Because they realized who they hurt. The righteous man, the pure one of them all. And we're talking and talking on Hashem, and we're talking on the righteous people without having no fear in our hearts, in our eyes, to understand who we're talking about. I'm telling you that Moshe Rabbeinu is standing in front of you and talking to you right now, that you're not supposed to be afraid to admit, to see the face of Mashiach is not something huge, it's something simple. It's something that you need to understand that will just come. One day you will stand in front of Mashiach and He will tell you, hi, how are you? I love you. Are you coming? Are you staying? What are you doing now? And that's it. And you go. It's not over there. Lo bashamayim velo me'ever layam. It's not across the sea. It's not in the sky. It's not in heaven. It's under your nose. Look, open your eyes. Use your heart. You think Mashiach will come and, oh, He will tell you how bad you were, how horrible you were, how many things you destroyed. What do you think? Is a ritual slaughterer Mashiach? Morach vada'in Mashiach. Mashiach is coming, He smells people, and He knows exactly who are you and what you did and how you're going to climb out from that filthy mud that you throw yourself in. And He's got all of the advice for every situation. If you're just going to open your ears, going to open your heart, and you listen to His advice, you are a free person. V'karati lachem dror. That's it, you're free. Sparrows, you can fly, that's it. But it depends on you if you're going to nullify yourself to Moshe, going to understand that that person, Moshe, he's the most humble person in the world. That's the only way to realize, to understand, to find, to recognize the Moshe of the generation. It's to look for his humility. What do you know about Moshe? That he was tall, that he was short, that he was blonde, that he was brown. What do you know? He had a long beard, a short beard, he was Ashkenazi, Breslev, Sfaradi. Who was? What he was? Who was he? Do you know something about Moshe? You know that he had a complete faith. You know that he had complete fear from heaven. You know that he was pure. You know that he was humble. You know that he was generous. You need to look for someone perfect. And if you haven't found someone perfect, you need to find that perfect man. And it all depends in the humility of that person, how humble he is. Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be Moshe because of his humility, not because of his wisdom. When Moshe Rabbeinu closed his eyes and Hashem shown him in a vision, Rabbi Akiva talks words of Torah, 1,000 something years later, after his generation, Moshe Rabbeinu was scared. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't talk. He said, wow. So he is much more worthy to give the Torah to Am Israel, to our nation, than me. Rabbi Akiva was such a genius. Moshe Rabbeinu said, oops. I can't compete him. He's much wiser than me. Moshe said. So you see from that Moshe was not chosen because of his brain. What is the praise that the Torah is telling us on Moshe? That he was humble. What it means humble? That he knows for sure. He's not that he thinks. He knows. For sure, he knows. It's not his thoughts of humility. He knows he's a man of truth. He knows the truth. That what? That he's the worst one of them all. That Bil'am and Balak and all of those criminals, all of those horrible people, they are better than him. Weird. But that's him. He sees how good he is and he says, it's all from Hashem. And you see how bad they are, and he's saying, what do you want? Yetzirah is dancing on their heads. What do you want? How he won't sin? How do you want him not to sin? What do you want from him? You, Hashem Yitbarach, blocking the light from him. You, Hashem Yitbarach, you close his eyes. Really, to understand the greatness of the Creator, for that we need to have a person that will guide us to know how to do that. Because alone, we're too crazy to do that. We're too crazy. We're slipping to the sides, no matter what happens. Okay, now I'm going to be righteous. Okay. It means I'm going to kill my wife and I'm going to learn 12 pages of Gemara every day. I'm not going to talk to my children anymore because I need to be... It's like you lose your mind immediately. Okay, you know what? No, I'm going to be Breslover, I'm going to do it Bodeduyot, 6 hours every day, go to the fields and smoke joints. That's what you do, that's how you're righteous. Yeah, you don't know, now I'm flying, me and Hashem, we're on the same wave. I hear you. Nadav Avihu have been burned because of that. You really want to be with Hashem? You need to nullify yourself. Need to erase your desires, your will, your selfish will. You need to look always only what Hashem wants. Hashem, what do you want? Sometimes Hashem wants you to fight. Sometimes Hashem wants you to fight. Sometimes Hashem wants you to be strong and powerful and to fight the wars of Hashem, like King David. That he killed many, many people. That he had a lot of blood on his hands. So what you're going to say on those hands? Yedechem damim aleu. Oh, it's a sin. You're not allowed to have blood in your hands. I'll tell you which blood. I'll tell you which blood David HaMelech had. The same blood that Hashem Yitbarach got on his royal garments, on his white cloaks of fire, that's the same blood that David HaMelech got in his hands, on his hands. And it's written on Moshe Rabbeinu v'yadav emunah that his hands were full with faith. Full with faith. Which faith? The faith in himself. That he's doing the right thing. That all of the souls that fell behind, all of the bloodshed, all of the sorrow, all of the tears, all of those spirits, those are the damim. Adam wa nefesh, the blood is the spirit. And all of those spirits are backing him up and helping him to hold his hands in the air. And he knows that Hashem Zocher Chasdei Avot, that the Creator, he remembers the kindness of our ancestors and all of the sorrow and all of the pain and all of the loss. And with those spirits, with that help from heaven, from all of those holy souls that had been killed, that had been abused, that had been slaughtered, that were innocent and pure, Those are the spirits, those are the blood that are filling his hands with faith. You're bringing the redemption, not for the future, not for the next generation. That's an illusion. For the next generation, you bring the redemption for the old generation, for the people that lost hope, for those people that left behind, that been left behind, for all of those people that died out of hunger, died out of sorrow, out of pain, for them you're bringing redemption. Redemption of Israel, redemption of the world, it's to uplift all of the sparks that been left, that went down to the depths of exile, that been slaughtered on nothing. To rise those sparks, to bring them back again, to fix them, to uplift them to the crown of Hashem. The day will come back to be the glory of Hashem. The day will be remembered. The day will be known. That they were all important. That we never left no one behind. To bring back all of the sparks of all of the lost souls that went out for no reason. Because it was against the will of the Creator. And the Creator wanted to take out all of the judgments on stones, on wood, and not on the souls of Israel. But only because that we misinterpret Him, because we thought that we were so wise, so we died. So we put ourselves inside a war, instead of standing and praying, and letting Hashem fight for us. To let Hashem fight for us. And again, I'm going to tell you that again. There is only one person like that in every generation. There are no two like that in the generation. Only one. And it's our mission to find that one and to join him. Liot sevet lazeh, to be a group with that person. To be a group with that one. And to give him our power as much as we can. As much as we can to help him, because he's doing his job, so we need to help him. And it's a purpose, and it's a meaning. To be from the soldiers of King David, to be mitzvah Melech David, that's a wonderful, fantastic purpose in life. Those are meaningful life, very beautiful life. To go and fight. To be by the side of King David, to go and fight for Hashem, to conquer the wars, to bring back our nation to its homeland, Amen. To the promised land, to give people hope and happiness. For me, it's a nice purpose. It's a good cause. Thank you, and Hashem will bless you. Will open your eyes and your hearts to know the truth. Amen. Can you hear us something?